This is Robert Martellacci, publisher of the Mindshare Learning Report, Canada's learning and technology e-magazine, and co-founder of C21 Canada, Canadians for 21st Century Learning and Innovation. I'm honored to have joined me for Mindshare Learning Moment, Andrea Schleicher, Director for Education and Skills and Special Advisor on Education Policy to the Secretary General at the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD in Paris. Before joining the OECD, Mr. Schleicher was Director for Analysis at the International Association for Educational Achievement. He studied physics in Germany and received a degree in mathematics and statistics in Australia. He is the recipient of numerous honors and awards, including the Theodore Huss Prize, awarded in the name of the first president of the Federal Republic of Germany for exemplary democratic engagement. He holds an honorary professorship at the University of Heidelberg. Thank you for joining me today, Andreas.
Thanks, Robert. Great to be with you.
Congratulations on a very in-depth global study you recently released, Students, Computers, and Learning, Making the Connection. What inspired it?
You know, we think this is a really important field. It's the first time in human development that parents and teachers have really little experience with the kind of tools that their children are working with and that they're going to shape the lives of their children. So how well schools come to grips with that reality was a very, very important question to us. The picture that came out of it was not very pretty, but still it's an important analysis.
Were you surprised by the results and the fact that countries which invested heavily in information technology, ICT, had seen no noticeable improvement in their performances in PISA results for reading, math, or science?
Yeah, you know, that's one part of the picture, but it gets even worse than that. I mean, the biggest surprise I had was that it didn't seem that digital technologies fulfill their biggest promise, namely to bridge the divide between different social classes. I mean, in fact, we could see that digital technology often amplifies the kind of social divisions that we fear. We also saw that students using technology heavily in classroom came out even lower than students not using technology very frequently. And that tells us, you know, that just, you know, putting 21st century technology on 20th century teaching strategies and maybe 19th century instructional designs is not a good recipe for success. And it was a surprise in that sense. Yes, you know, there's been a tremendous investment in technology, but it does seem that we've got more wrong than right examples of how to make it work.
Yes, no doubt. I mean, when you consider 17.5 billion is spent approximately annually, as was reported, around the world, and the results aren't compelling. It sent shockwaves around the world, no doubt. And certainly, there's lessons to be shared with regard to best practices in implementing ICT in schools to achieve its full potential.
Yeah, you know, I think what's interesting is that when you look at the countries that came best out of this, you know, the countries which had the most technology savvy students, the students with the greatest digital skills, they often actually started out by sort of connecting teachers, building platforms for knowledge sharing, knowledge creation among teachers, connecting teachers, and then very progressively, very cautiously actually rolling out technology into classrooms for students. So that was actually quite interesting to see that connecting teachers, building powerful instructional design seemed to be the most promising recipe at the moment. At the very same time, I think we do see some really interesting potential in this. Like, I mean, you ask yourself, why should students be limited to a textbook that was printed, you know, a couple of years ago and maybe designed 5 or 10 years ago when they can have access to the world's most up-to-date data and information? And that's something that we have to come to grips with. It's important, you know, we see how technology can allow students and teachers to access specialized material, to provide, you know, new pedagogies that focus on learning and making sort of learning more participatory, more interesting, more engaging, fostering experiential learning, project-based and inquiry-based pedagogies, all of those kinds of things that, you know, educationalists have dreamt for decades are now possible. And but the reality is we are seeing that only at the margins at this moment. So we haven't really design the kind of 21st century pedagogies that can leverage the kind of technology that we have available to us. And what is also very clear from the report is that, you know, technology can amplify great teaching, but technology just doesn't replace poor teaching.
Absolutely. Let's explore the notion of 21st century learning environments and skills for a moment. I'm co-founder of C21 Canada. We just recently released Shifting Minds 3.0, redefining the Canadian learning landscape. We spend a lot of time thinking about this and helping prepare students for the global digital world for today and tomorrow, because things have changed and we are lagging behind. How important are these skills in addressing change for students? And are you seeing it? Many would argue we're well into the 21st century and we shouldn't even be talking about this notion, but it's a brand, it's a time that we're in. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, if you look at the demand for knowledge and skills in modern economies, you can see that the steepest decline in demand is actually in what we call routine cognitive skills. The kind of things that are easy to teach, easy to test, are also easy to digitize, automate, outsource. Those kind of are the kind of jobs that are disappearing. The kind of things that are increasing are things like non-routine analytical skills. You know, this is not about reproducing what you know, but extrapolating from what you know, using your knowledge creatively, critically. Now, the modern world no longer rewards you just for what you know. Google knows everything. It rewards you for what you can do with what you know. We see also that significant rise in social skills, the capacity of people to collaborate, compete, connect. And when you think about this is all about technology. Technology allows us to sort of design a structural environment around those competencies. And these are the opportunities that we should be actively looking for.
Absolutely. Do you see a disconnect with respect to education and industry that provides technology solutions?
Yeah, you know, actually, I ask myself often, you know, why don't we provide more sort of up-to-date technical solutions here? You know, many children wouldn't voluntarily play with the kind of educational software that we put in our schools today. You know, I think that
interesting
solutions that we offer are not in line with what technology could be providing. Now, you think about what contribution could, you know, gaming really make to a pedagogy, to personalized learning, to, you know, all of those things. And then you see the reality, and that's still a long way to go. There doesn't really seem to be a scalable, attractive market for industry to offer really good solutions. And that then leads to a backlash, you know, both among students and among teachers.
Do you have any advice to offer industry to better meet the needs? I'm actually going to be at EdNet in Atlanta next week, where it's a gathering of all the major companies that are providing solutions from around the world.
You know, I think one thing that I often think is that we need to make better use of those who know pedagogy best, the teachers in the classroom. You know, to make teachers not part just of the implementation of technological solutions, but to make them part of the design of those solutions, to actually think through, you know, what are we wanted to achieve in terms of pedagogies, and then frame technological solutions around this, rather than, you know, starting out with a product and getting teachers familiar with it. I really think that's often missing.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I've often seen that myself. What role do faculties of education have to play in the success equation?
You know, that's something that we were not able to study with this report. We just look at, you know, the reality at the front line in schools. So that's hard to judge, really. I mean, but I would actually also there think probably they're a lot more conservative than they should be. They should be the pioneers of, you know, new pedagogies, of new instructional designs, and so on. And often, you know, that's a stretch really for those faculties of education, and probably we should, and you know, in a lesson that we can take from high performing education systems in East Asia or in Finland, in Europe for example, is that they have brought teacher education much closer to the reality of classrooms. You know, a lot of the teacher development happens in schools, by schools, and that's where you have of course many more opportunities to be sort of much closer to pedagogy and innovation.
Excellent. I like to say that it takes a digital village to raise a child. There are many stakeholders in the equation, are there not?
Absolutely. You know, education is everybody's business, and we need to also take to heart that education is not a place but an activity. Now, learning is not a place but an activity. Sort of thinking through, you know, how can we support the learning process best? At which, in which context, in which situations, in school and at home? Who can contribute this, to this best? You know, what's the role of students, of teachers, of parents? And putting everybody into this equation is going to be a very powerful receipt for improvement.
Okay, so I want to challenge you for a moment now on a hypothetical situation, and that being you are now a country president. Where would you begin to address this challenge with ICT? How important is leadership in having a sound vision and implementation strategy and being at the helm?
You know, strategy, I think, is a very, very important factor in this. In fact, that's often the missing link. We have technological solutions that are just, you know, rolled out to schools. But if you ask yourself, you know, what's the underlying strategies? What are the knowledge and skills that we're actually trying to develop? How do we build the pedagogies around it? How do we work with the stakeholders in the field to actually make that happen? Now, what is very clear is that everybody likes the status quo. Now, the status quo is very comfortable. Sort of, how do we build a powerful case for change?
Yes.
I think the starting point. And then, you know, you need to just ask yourself, how do I get my people on board for this? You know, how do I create incentives and support for teachers actually to become part of the solution, of principals to take the leadership on? But actually, you know, if I would start, probably what we have seen in countries like Singapore, maybe China. I would actually use technology first to frame the teaching profession, you know, to mm-hmm. build platforms where teachers can collaborate, compete, connect, share their lesson plans, you know, learn from each other, learn with each other. And when they become confident in technology and when technology becomes part of their lives, they're going to make it part of the lives of the students as well. So I think, you know, we're thinking about this from a really strategic perspective and taking on board those people who have to make that happen is, I think, very important. And that's where leadership can make such a huge difference.
Thank you for those insights. Brilliant. I understand Canada did not fare too badly overall.
Yeah, I think Canada is actually a good example on this. I mean, even in Canada, you can say, you know, technology doesn't add that much value to the traditional learning environment, so Canadian schools could do better as well. But overall, I think Canada is a great example in the field of education, one that has, you know, built sort of highly equitable learning opportunities. Social background matters much less in Canada than in many parts of Europe or the United States. There are great pockets of excellence. There's good knowledge sharing throughout the country. I think there's Canada, in many respects, is a good model for educational success. But in the field of technology, you know, I do think there's a lot of potential still.
Well, you mentioned pockets of innovation, and we often talk about that. We have our upcoming EdTech Leadership Summit in about 3 weeks in Toronto, and that's what that's our challenge. We bring together industry and education leaders to really deal with that head on. And your report has accelerated or illuminated the challenge, and we embrace that. I think it's critical that we not be satisfied with the status quo, and it's really about return on achievement, not return on investment, when we're looking at the success equation here. And we thank you for such an excellent study that I'm sure you would do things a little differently, or look to test or examine things a little differently in the subsequent reports.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think technology is now also being the sort of linchpin of the PISA as a whole. As of now, the PISA assessments are all digital delivered, so assessing digital competency is no longer an add-on, but it's now become sort of the heart of the PISA assessments. I think we've learned a lot. We have built a new assessment of social skills, the first time that we're assessing things like collaborative problem-solving skills, things that we know are rising in importance that depend on technology. So, yeah, I think PISA is a good example of how we can actually learn a lot in the field of assessment as well. And that's not the end of the story, you know. We could make, if you think about formative assessments, you know, giving students immediate feedback, connecting
absolutely
of students, all of that is possible now.
Yeah, harnessing big data and making it seamless platform. that, you know, to your point in the study, we haven't realized the full potential, and it's happening in other sectors and in industry, but it hasn't cascaded down to education, which is our challenge, no doubt.
That's right. Yeah.
Any final thoughts to share with our audience as it relates to leadership, learning, and technology?
Well, you know, I think we should look at this from the positive side. I think technology is there to stay. Technology is going to transform everything in our lives, and we should think about ways of how we can make that happen in the field of education. And I'm positive in the sense that we see a lot of variability across countries. We do see countries that have taken that agenda on board, and I think that's there's no way to evade that.
With that, I thank you, Andreas.
You're very welcome.
That was Andreas Schleicher, Director of Education and Skills and Special Advisor on Education Policy to the Secretary General at the OECD in Paris. Be sure to check out www.mindsharelearning.com to get your latest issue of the Mindshare Learning Report. My name is Robert Marlacci, and until next time, keep the digital learning curve steep.